Today's reading is from Acts 10, 34 to 48. Then Peter began to speak. I now realise how true it is that God does not show favouritism, but accepts men from every nation who fear him and do what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, telling the good news of the peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout Judea, beginning Galilee after the baptism that John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came down on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, for they heard him speaking in tongues and praising God. Then Peter said, "Can anyone keep these people from being baptized with water? They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have." So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked Peter to stay with them for a few days.
Let's pray before we look at God's word again. All scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Please help us, Heavenly Father, to understand your word this evening and do those things. Teach us through it, Lord. Correct us, perhaps, and train us so that we may be thoroughly equipped to know you and to live for you. Amen. Well, we're going to begin with a recap. Last week, we met Cornelius, a Roman centurion, and although he wasn't Jewish, he was a devout, God-fearing man who gave generously to the poor. And Cornelius had this vision from God and was told to send men to Joppa to bring back a man named Peter. Cornelius obeys God. Meanwhile, we have Peter, a devout Jew, one of the apostles who was staying by the sea in Joppa with a tanner named Simon. And Peter's up on the roof praying. Lunch is cooking, and he's starving. But as he prays, he falls into a trance and sees a vision or a nightmare, perhaps. All kinds of animals in this large sheet, animals that were unclean to Jews, that he couldn't have touched. So when a voice says, "Peter, get up and eat," he's shocked. He responds, "Surely not, God. They're unclean." But God is teaching Peter a lesson. Do not call anything impure that God has made clean. This happens three times. And then Cornelius' men turn up, bump into Peter, and he leaves Joppa and goes back with them to Cornelius at Caesarea. God has been working behind the scenes in the little details of the story, as he so often is, bringing about this meeting. Devout Jew, Peter, and soldier from the Roman enemy, occupying army, Cornelius. A Jew just wouldn't associate or visit a Gentile like Cornelius. But Peter is slowly but surely coming to understand God's lesson. Just as no animal is unclean, so no man is unclean either. Peter's is a little bit slow, but after Cornelius practically begging him, he realises that even Gentiles, that's non-Jewish people, need to hear the gospel too. And that's where we are as we pick up this story tonight. Peter's sharing the gospel message with Cornelius and his household. And we're about to see the first group of Gentiles coming to hear and accept the message of Jesus. It's a big moment in the story of Acts. In fact, it's a big moment in the history of the church. Because back at the start of Acts, chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus tells Peter and the apostles that they're to be his witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And the gospel has spread through Jerusalem and Judea. It spreads to Samaria in chapter 8 of Acts. And now here in chapter 10, the gospel breaks into the rest of the world as Peter shares the gospel with this Gentile audience. So we're going to see two big main things tonight. And the first is this. All people need to hear the same gospel message. Have a look again with me, please, at verse 34. Then Peter began to speak. I now recognise how true it is that God does not show favouritism, but accepts men from every nation who fear him and do what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, telling the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. The Jew-Gentile barrier has been broken down. Peter understands that God doesn't show favouritism. He welcomes people from all nations. He's not an exclusive God who will only welcome certain types of people. He's not a God just for the Jews, but for Gentiles too. He's not a God just for the rich or just for the poor. He's not a God just for white Brits, but for all colours of skin, for all nationalities, from all backgrounds. Just last year, I read about an Asian council worker in Northumberland who was forced to eat alone and at lunchtime and refused holiday requests because she didn't fit in. She was found to have been discriminated against, rightly so by the sounds of it, and awarded compensation. And you see the picture, please, Adrian. This is Miriam O'Reilly. She's been in the news this week, hasn't she? She's 53 and was replaced by the BBC as presenter of Countryfile by a younger woman who's 36. And just this week, the courts found that she'd been discriminated against on the basis of her age. Now, the last government introduced lots of legislation trying to sort of do away with discrimination. But however hard they try, prejudice is really deep-rooted. It certainly was between Jews and Gentiles in the first century. But whatever prejudices we may have, we can be sure that God doesn't. He doesn't show favouritism. That's the big message of this whole section of Acts. The message may have come first to the people of Israel, but the message is described as good news of peace through Jesus Christ, notice, who is Lord of all. Not just Lord of Israel, Lord of all people. And God has always, right from the beginning, been God of the entire world. In Genesis chapter 12, right near the start of recorded history, God promised Abraham that all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. And just as God is for all people, the way to know God is the same for all people. All people on earth need to hear the same gospel message. The Gentiles need to hear Peter preach this message. And as we look at it again, we'll see it's exactly the same gospel message that Peter has preached already to Jews. So we're just going to look again at this message. And we're just going to pick out four quick points. And firstly, the gospel is about the person of Jesus. Just look down verse 37. You know what has happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee, after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. We're witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. The gospel begins and ends with Jesus. It's all about him. And Peter starts off reminding them of the well-known recent events that took place in Galilee, where Jesus lived. Anointed by God, God with him, as he went bringing hope and peace, life and healing to those he met. And well, secondly, the gospel is about Jesus' curse-bearing death. Verse 39. They killed him by hanging him on a tree. The gospel is about the death of Jesus' unjust death, his crucifixion. And notice that the words Peter uses, not that Jesus was crucified on the cross, but on a tree. And that's significant because being hung on a tree was a sign that somebody, it tells us a bit about the sort of purpose of Jesus' death. Deuteronomy 21:23 says this: anyone who is hung on a tree is under God's curse. Being hung on a tree is a sign that someone is under God's judgment, facing his anger. And that's exactly what Jesus' death was. It was him taking the punishment that we deserve for the way we've treated God, for our sin. And it was Jesus lovingly taking the death penalty on himself so that we could go free. And next we see the gospel is about Jesus' resurrection, verified by witnesses. We see that in verse 40. God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one who God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. Jesus didn't remain dead. He was raised back to life and appointed the judge of the whole world. The people weren't naive back then. They were every bit as cynical and sceptical as we are today. They knew people didn't just rise from the dead like that. So God calls the risen Jesus to be seen by witnesses and people who ate and drank with Jesus after he rose from the dead. So we can't just say that it was just a sort of a hallucination or sort of a ghost or a vision. Or he ate and drank with people. He was alive, a physical person. And these witnesses were entrusted with a job of preaching to others what they'd seen. And that's just what Peter's doing. Well, fourthly, we see that the gospel message is about forgiveness of sins through Jesus. Forgiveness of sins through Jesus. That's what Jesus' curse-bearing death and resurrection from the dead achieve. Sin being dealt with, being paid for by an innocent substitute. Look at Psalm 43. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. I've been to a couple of big football matches recently. I bored a lot of people with these stories, so I won't go on about them now. But a couple of cup games where the underdog has won. And in football, if a player's not doing well enough, if he's underperforming or if he's injured, someone else can be brought on, can be substituted in his place to do the necessary job that he's unable to do. And it's as if It's as if our life, in our life, we're facing God, the judge of all. And we know the verdict on our life isn't going to be pretty. We know deep down the ways we're guilty, the sin deep within us, the way our minds work, even the sort of dark secrets that perhaps no one else knows. And then we're facing the imminent judgment of God. Jesus comes on in our place, a perfect life, a clean substitute. And he takes our place before God. And he freely dies in our place and rises from the dead to say, sin is beaten. Anyone can come to me and receive complete forgiveness. So that's Peter's gospel. The same message preached for the first time to this Gentile audience. And this is radical. All people need to hear the same gospel message. Because God has one gospel. There's one way we can face the judge of the living and the dead and be found not guilty. There's one way we can stand before Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all, and be declared innocent. And it's to accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and as our Saviour. Do you ever think, but I need something different? Or this is where I'm coming from, I need something more? Or she will never respond to that. Or he will never accept that the gospel message as it is. I need to change it or to dilute it or to hide it. Well, all people, whoever they are, wherever they come from, British, Bangladeshi, rich, poor, homeless, Chinese, Asian, black, white, popular, or people on the edge of society, all people need to hear this same gospel message. And secondly, the second thing I want to think about tonight is this. All people can respond to this same gospel message. All people can respond to this same gospel message. And what I mean is this. All types of people can receive the Holy Spirit. Just as people from a non-Jewish background have now heard the gospel, so people from a non-Jewish background now respond to the gospel. The gospel works because God doesn't show favouritism. Let's look and see the dramatic way this happens. In verse 44. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who'd come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. The Holy Spirit comes on them in power as they accept the gospel message. These two things happen together. In fact, we can't respond positively to the gospel unless God's Holy Spirit is working in us. And God pours out his Spirit on this group of Gentiles and enables the people here to speak in tongues. Now, we've seen back in chapter 2 of Acts that this is probably people speaking in other languages that they hadn't learnt, but were just able to speak because the Holy Spirit enables them to. The group of Jewish believers who'd come with Paul, the group of Jewish believers who'd come with Paul, hear these Gentiles speaking in other languages. They can pick up enough of what's being said to tell that they are praising God. And they're astonished. At Pentecost, back in Acts 2, the Holy Spirit comes on people before they hear the gospel. In Samaria, in chapter 8, he comes on people after they hear the gospel. But here in Acts 10, he comes on them whilst they're hearing the gospel. Before Peter has even finished speaking, before he calls them to repent and turn and trust in the Lord Jesus, it just happens. And God is a God who can work in extraordinary ways. He doesn't usually. There is a normal, ordered way that God usually works things out. But he doesn't have to. This is a unique moment in history. The gospel spread to non-Jews for the first time. The beginning of the gospel to the ends of the earth. And of course, most of us are from non-Jewish descent. So this is a significant moment for us. The Jewish believers see that exactly the same thing has happened to Cornelius as happened to them. The Holy Spirit's come on them in a very similar way. So they can be sure that this is God acting in a special way to verify to these that these people are accepted by him because they've responded positively to the gospel and put their trust in Jesus. Just look at the again from verse 47. Then Peter says, "Can anyone keep these people being baptized with water? They've received the Holy Spirit just as we have." So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. As these people have been converted to Christ, so they now receive baptism, the outward sign that they belong to Jesus. Now, I've been reading this fascinating story of a 14-year-old girl known as Hansi, and she lived as a Jew in Amsterdam. Well, Hansi was her nickname. Her full name was Joanna Ruth Dobschneiner, I think it is. That's why I was going to call her Hansi, because I'm not very good at pronouncing her name. But she was known as Hansi by everybody. And she was in Amsterdam, the time of the war, and she escaped death numerous times and eventually came to know Jesus. Hitler had invaded Holland, and he brought in these new regulations. Jews had to hand over all kinds of personal possessions, cars, bicycles, radios, and notices started appearing outside hotels or shops and cinemas announcing forbidden to Jews, and they weren't allowed to use the public transport, and Hansi had to leave her school and start going to an all-Jewish school. And early in 1941, a new law meant that all Jews there had to purchase these bright yellow stars, 5 inches wide, with Jew in capital letters, and have them sewn on all their clothing that they wore outside. And her brothers went out without these stars on, and they were sadly taken away to the concentration camp to be murdered. And over 100,000 Dutch Jews were murdered during the 5 years of Nazi occupation. And this happened almost 2,000 years on from Peter and Cornelius. But humans have divided people on the ground of religion and race throughout time. And we went to a friend's wedding a couple of summers ago, and the medieval church it was in had these wooden pews, and it also had these sort of strange boxes, which were sort of stalls. And way back, all sort of churches one time would have had them, and the rich would sort of buy these stalls and these boxes up at the front, and poorer people would have to sit at the back. So it's not just religion or nationality that divides people. One's bank balance does too. So the application of this is relatively simple. All people need to hear the gospel message, and all people need to respond to the gospel message. But I wonder how it applies to each of us. We may not show favoritism in such obvious ways, but perhaps we do subtly. Maybe we make distinctions in our minds between those who may respond to the gospel and those who just don't stand a chance. Perhaps you were I'm talking about some of these things on your tables. Perhaps you came up with some good things which will tie in with this message. Who are we to judge? God doesn't show favoritism. Maybe it's a group of people we exclude. Maybe subconsciously, by just simply not talking to them, not involving them. People from a different social class, people who are homeless, immigrants, refugees. All people need to hear the gospel. And because God can call all types, all groups of people to respond to his gospel. If you look around, we're quite a strange group of mix of people here, I guess. But the gospel unites us, doesn't it? The gospel brings us together. Churches break down barriers of class or race or financial standing. All must be welcome, however uncomfortable that may make us feel at first. As Paul writes to the Galatians, chapter 3, verse 28, there is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are one in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. God does not show favoritism, but accepts men of every nation who fear him and do what is right. Father, thank you that the gospel is for all people. Thank you that you do not show favoritism. One day the whole world will stand before Jesus as judge of the living and the dead. So may we view others as you do. Please give us your hearts of compassion for the lost, whoever they are, that all may hear and respond to Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. Amen.